We're back, 180. My name's Carl Clausen. I am your host, but today we've got another treat for you. Dr. George Koch, the Anglican with the attitude. Yep, he's back. We do this segment called What We Believe and Why, and it is great to have you in studio. Thanks for being with me.
Carl, it's really a joy. Always is.
We're talking covenant. We went through the Abrahamic covenant, then the covenant with Moses, and now the covenant with Jesus. And I think it's important to note there's not a superiority of covenant here, is there? These are all requisite in the unfolding of God's great redemptive story. Am I wrong?
No, I think that's absolutely right. God initiated all of these covenants. There was purpose and intention on his part when he did. And all of them actually contain very similar things, both in God's intention and in their content. Much of it, I think, we miss, but it's there.
Okay, let's, for the sake of those you're listening right now going, okay, Abraham covenant, Moses, oh great, now I missed out. Do a quick recap, Abrahamic covenant, quickly.
The Abrahamic covenant, Genesis 15, God says to Abraham, if you will trust me, I will bless you with many descendants. Nations will come from you. And Abraham responds by trust, credited to him as righteousness. The Mosaic covenant, God says to Israel, if you will be my people, I will be your God. Israel says, okay. And God says, now I have some guidance for you.
Yeah.
And that's the Mosaic covenant. It's the law. He says, this is what I want you to do as my people Israel. And it both will hold you together and it will teach you how to live rightly with each other.
Okay, interesting question that it bears repeating. Why would God give a law, a set of laws that he knew people couldn't fully fulfill?
Well, it certainly tells them what it is that real relationship, real holy relationship with each other looks like.
So it's a true North Star.
It's a North Star. Yeah.
And then we later find out that God was revealing there was still righteousness there. So the people that couldn't achieve the law, we know that they cried out to God and said, Abba, Father.
They did.
Okay. All right. So we come now to the covenant of Jesus. Dun, 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 dun. This is that kind of a moment, man.
It is.
The Savior of the world shows up, but a lot of people missed him.
Well, not only did a lot of people miss him, but we in our day miss who he was and where he was in some profound ways. I mean, most of us in the Christian world are Gentiles living in the West, and we look at the world through Greek philosophical eyes. I won't go into that right now, but it's the reality. And we even look back at Jesus and at the scriptures in the same way. The reality is Jesus was a Jew. He lived among Jewish people. And if you look at all of the terms that Jesus used when he taught, and even the content of the covenant of Jesus, it is rife with Jewish references, with Old Testament scripture references. That's the context. It's the content. It explains so much when you understand that.
Why did Jesus spend so much time focusing on the initial offering of that covenant to the Jewish people? Why did it not just come initially straight out of the gate? We know it came to everyone. We know that. But there's a focus on the Jewish people, the very people that he came from.
Well, I'll tell you two related Jewish stories. These are out of the Jewish context. One
and,
says,
and by the way, George Koch is, you're a Jew.
I have Jewish background too, yes.
Yeah.
So God says to the Jewish people, he goes around to all of the different nations of the time and says, I have some laws, and if you will follow the laws, I will be your God and I will bless you. And nation by nation, he does that. And nation by nation say, well, let's see what the laws are and we'll think about it and then we'll give you a decision.
We'll get back to you.
We'll get back to you. He goes to the Jews and says, if you follow my laws, I'll be your God. And the Jewish people say, okay, what are the laws?
Right.
So they agree first.
Right.
And then they ask what the laws are. That's one story. The second story is the Jews say about themselves, well, God wanted to prove to the whole world that he was God by choosing the most stiff-necked people he could find, and that was us.
That is really funny.
Isn't that great?
I love that. There's a little bit of truth in it, too.
Yeah, there is.
Okay. All right. So the covenant of Jesus, This is the gospel. Give it to us.
Well, first of all, realize this, that every covenant that is sealed in Scripture, there's blood involved. You look all through the Old Testament, there's always blood. There's blood that marks it in sacrifices in the temple. Hmm. The covenant of Moses, the covenant of the covenant of circumcision involves blood. It's called Brit Milah, and that means a cutting covenant. And in fact, the expression in Hebrew, when you have a covenant, is to cut a covenant. It's not to make one, but to cut one. And the idea is that there is some physicality to that covenant. It's not agreement to a set of philosophical principles, but it's rather something deep and intimate that happens between the two parties.
I love that. And that's the richness of it.
That's the richness of it and the reality of it for a human being. It's not philosophical agreement. It's intimacy.
And that's one of the kickers, isn't it, George? Because we have according to Matthew 7, a large contingent of people today that have intellectual agreement, but they have not had a relational, emotional agreement with Christ.
I think that's right. And I would say more people get loved into the kingdom than get argued into it.
Hello. Hello. Yeah,
that spells out right there the covenant of Jesus, that God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that anybody who would believe in him wouldn't perish, but have eternal life. It begins with God so loved.
Yeah, not Jesus outdebated Muhammad.
Right.
Yeah, this is good stuff. Okay, to the person listening that may not have a covenantal relationship with Jesus, how do you get one, George?
The first thing to do is to understand that this man came from God. We believe this man is God incarnate. And therefore, whatever he says is trustworthy, not just philosophically, but it means he can deliver what he promises.
That's good.
Okay? And what he says is, if you trust in me, all the sins, everything you've ever done or could do that's wrong and that would keep you separate from God, I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to cover you for that. I will be the one who redeems you when you couldn't redeem yourself. Trust me, let me do it. And if we trust him, which requires nothing more than saying yes, then from that moment, the sin is gone, it's forgotten. God looks at us, he sees the holiness and purity of his son because we have been buried in him and raised to life again in him. We are covered by him like the robe wrapped around the prodigal son when he returned to his father. God sees white, not pig stuff.
Man, George, you're passionate about this and you're spot on. What a message the gospel is, isn't it?
It is. And let me just pause here and say to anybody listening right now who hasn't ever said yes to Jesus, this can be the moment. You can do it right now. This is a man you can trust. He comes from God. He says, I want to cover your sins. I want to bless you and keep you safe forever. I want to make you right with God and bring you intimately into his presence. That offer is free, doesn't cost a dime. All you have to do is say, Jesus, okay, I accept. And if you haven't done that, you can do it right now.
Awesome.
Just say, I accept.
Thanks for being with me, George. Appreciate it very much.
My pleasure very much.
You are a listener. Move on that right now. Don't let fear hold you back. Move toward God today. 180 with Carl Clausen and my good friend George Koch, going through what we believe and why. Your life, a new direction.